I want to read several passages in the first chapter of John. John, writing this gospel late in the first century, writes it really as a sermon to explain the wonder of Jesus Christ to a Grecian, Hellenistic, Roman world. And in that 10th verse, he says, "He, the Word, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." If you will turn over to the third chapter of John, let me read an even more familiar passage. But I want you to understand in the reading of it that when these New Testament writers use the word world, cosmos, they are talking about God's created universe in all of its fallenness and rebellion. So in the third chapter and the 16th verse and following, the apostle writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be plainly seen that what he has done has been done through God." And this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to get ultimately during this series to the 17th chapter of John, and we may do that this morning, if time permits. I guess, Walter, since the clock is not fixed, I can go on, can't I? I told Walter to give me a thing. I want us to learn to pray with Jesus, our teacher, our Lord. Someone said that the word Lord doesn't really make any sense to people in our modern age. We ought to use CEO or boss or something like that. But Jesus is both our sovereign friend, he is our Savior, he is our Lord, he is our CEO, however you want to conceive that. And his prayer, which is so remarkable, how he prays for us and for the world, is in the 17th chapter of John. But before we look at that prayer, we need to see, first of all, how it is that Jesus Christ looks at his world, which is why I have chosen such a crazy title for this teaching. By the way, about which I've already gotten into trouble. If God so loved the world, why is it so screwed up? I had all that on the bulletin board out here Wednesday morning, and I came back to the hospital and looked at it, and I thought, no, somebody will stumble over that. So I took part of it down. And then this morning I got rebuked for taking it down. So, you know, it's... But there's the question. So let me begin with one of Jesus' stories, just to sort of move into this. How does Jesus look at his world? Let me use the story of Jesus that we call the story of the prodigal son. It's really the story of a prodigal father. A father who, had he been, in our thinking, responsible or moral, would never have welcomed back his son with such a celebration. Remember the story? There was this younger son who did everything wrong. Took his part of the inheritance and the family name, squandered the fortune and trashed the family name out there in some other place, living it up, raising hell, as we would say, until he ran out of everything and a famine came, and then he figured out that better to bite the bullet and go back and become one of his father's hired servants than to stay out there and starve to death. And so he did. And they're out there on the road looking for him as his prodigal father, you know, whose son had trashed the family name, who had squandered the family money, done all those things. And when he comes, the father embraces him and gives him a banquet, puts a ring on his finger, a robe on him. Now I say, a father who had any sense of discipline, you say, how could he do that to that ne'er-do-well son? Well, then there's the elder brother. By the way, I'm always embarrassed by that. The elder brother in the Greek is the presbyter. This is the Presbyterian son. He was the judgmental one, quick to condemn, not any sense of mercy or grace. Simply says, look at me, I've done everything right. I've kept the family name. I've worked on the family income. I'm upright. And this son of yours, he calls him to his father, this son of yours. You know, it's like when my kids do bad, I say they're their mother's son. You know, this son of yours done everything wrong, a failure, disgraceful, embarrassing, this prodigal. How could you do that? But the prodigal father says, hey, this son of mine, which was lost, is found, was dead, is alive. Why shouldn't I rejoice? Well, I hope you're still with me here, because there are a lot of elder brothers around inside the church, aren't there? Always looking for something wrong, looking for somebody to beat up on, quick to condemn, out of their own unhappiness, looking for somebody to condemn. I say that with shame. It's always been this way. So that a question like the one we have in our title for our teaching today makes such people defensive, because they're afraid it might show their lovelessness. But when you ask the question, if God so loves the world, why is it so screwed up? That's a good question. Because there are a lot of secular folk, a lot of prodigals, a lot of seeking folk, a lot of honest folk around who are asking it. And I want you to know it's okay to ask it. After all, when you look at this world that we live in, look at the news, it could make you a cynic, couldn't it? Or drive you to despair. And you could ask the question, where is God in all of this? Talking to our missionary David Miller this week, David has spent his career in Africa as the one who got Betty and me over there all three times. And he was commenting that somehow we expect the tribes of Africa to be in conflict, but we don't expect European tribes like Bosnia and Herzegovina, Yugoslavia, to be in conflict, but they are. All this brokenness. And now there's a brooding conflict between the Czechs and Slovaks, or maybe between the Crips and the Bloods in Los Angeles. We look at the kind of looming and ominous crises that were dealt with in Rio de Janeiro this past week on the environment, which can be a bit frightening, as Jacques Cousteau tried to say to our government. Or if it's in any way symptomatic, you watch the soap operas on The Young and the Restless and realize how many people are out there looking for what it's all about. One commentator said this week, we look at the Los Angeles looters. We need also to look at the savings and loans looters and the military contract looters and the inside traders. It all doesn't bode very well for the kind of brute selfishness and acquisitiveness that is part of this broken, fallen world we live in. By the way, there's a classic philosophical statement in a banking ad in the paper this morning, in a big black quarter of a page, is pay yourself first. That's it. Get what's mine. That could have been in the minds of a lot of people, looting. There is sort of a don't crowd me, don't touch my lifestyle, I need my space attitude that floats around in our society very commonly. And all of this brokenness results from that whether it's personally or tribally or nationally, and we're prone to ask sometime when we stop and reflect, yes, where is God in all of this? But face it, the real world that you're concerned about may just be your own screwed up life. Where's God in my life? If God so loves me, why is my life so screwed up? We may have made bad decisions. We may have tried to buy happiness with money, hadn't bought it. Perhaps we've been through several marriages looking for some kind of happiness there. Or we may have kids that scare us spitless. So you ask yourself, what in the world has the church to do with all of this? Here we are here on a Sunday morning in this world talking about Jesus and a big so what. Well, let's look at our question and then look back at our readings from John. Please accept the fact that there are several very mistaken notions that float around even inside the church that we need just to label on the way by. And the first one is a mistaken notion about who God is. Because pretty much replete in our culture, coming down from the Enlightenment and from founding fathers like Jefferson and Franklin and Madison, is a view of God that, yeah, he's the designer. And he started this whole thing off and cranked it up and turned it loose. And now he's an absentee landlord. God out there somewhere who put all this together and it's got his hands off of it now. That's called deism. That's the first mistaken notion. And the second mistaken notion that also comes to us very much from all of our training from the Enlightenment is that this world is neutral. It is neither necessarily good nor bad. Bad is sort of out there on the fringes. But the world itself is neutral, and that also is a mistaken notion. And the third mistaken notion is about humankind, that we are all by nature good and reasonable. And that's also a mistaken notion. Because when you read the documents of the Old and New Testament, particularly the New Testament, you get a very different picture, which we call the gospel, the joyous news of God, that he comes and brings light into these mistaken notions and joy into our cynicism. In the first chapter of John, which we read earlier on, it says that the Word of God, who we understand to be Jesus, the Son of God, there in that first chapter of John, the Word of God came into his own creation. But his own creation did what? Rejected him, did not receive him. He came to that which was his own. It did not receive him. He came into a world. And as I said, in the New Testament writings, the word cosmos, that word, always refers, it doesn't always in Greek, but in the New Testament, always refers to a created universe that is in rebellion, that has fallen, that is part of the darkness, that has rejected its creator, that is not at all neutral. As a matter of fact, it's very alien to God. Which is why the verse that we all know well is so incredible. For God so loved the world. Now, if you stop there and make that word world neutral, God loved a neutral world, it says one thing. And if you put a period there, it sort of leaves it incomplete. But if you say that God so loved this screwed up world that he gave his son, his well-beloved son, then you've got a whole different picture, don't you? It doesn't answer a lot of questions. It still doesn't deal significantly with the problem of evil. But it tells you what God's solution was, that he came into it, he loved it, and he gave his son that whoever believes, what? Should not perish. But what? Should find some kind of life that's really life, abundant life, eternal life. Please note also in these passages we read that humankind is not neutral. It is not good and rational. but it's part of the darkness. In the beginning, John says some very interesting things. He says, through the Word, all things were made. I'm looking at chapter 1, verse 3. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. You get on over in the third chapter, he says it again, you know, that men are part of the darkness. They love darkness rather than light because they've missed the point of God. Humankind in darkness, screwed up and loving it. They do not want the light to come, lest it show up their darkened works, John says. They love the darkness rather than the light. And that's a bit different than we're accustomed to thinking about, isn't it? A God who comes, a God who loves, a God who involves God's self in His own rebel creation, a God who sees the world all messed up, rebellious, alien, and becomes part of it and loves it, sees people like you and me also with loused up lives and loves us and brings us the light. That's different. Here is the prodigal father, the God who loves this screwed up world so much that He gives His most precious gift to rescue us into a joyful kind of life. Say hallelujah, hallelujah. For pity's sake. Yes, He gives His most precious gift to us to rescue us, to pay the debt, to deal with the alienation, to bring justice, to invite us into His own joyful life. Us, He does that for us. And He gives us an RSVP. He said, I love you very much. Your life is important to me. Come unto me, all you who labor. Respond, s'il vous plaît. You see, brothers and sisters, when we're looking at the world that we live in, this cosmos in rebellion, we're looking at the world that God loves and the world that He prays for. He knows all about it. His love is unexpected. It's undeserved. It's full of mystery. But it is into the midst of such a world that Jesus came, note, to be part of it, to bear its wrath and judgment on a scaffold. It is into just such a screwed up world that Jesus came to pray for it and to love it and to call us to be here, an ongoing community, a community of Jesus, a community of the Incarnation. Right in the midst of this world, He's called us to be a community of love. And if you begin to see that, then you can begin to understand how we learn to pray for the world we live in. And I'm going to ask you to turn now to John 17. This kind of God, this kind of love, in this kind of world, with these kinds of people, with all the brokenness, the rebelliousness, the hurt, it is into such a world that Jesus comes and offers this prayer to the Father. Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began. I have revealed You to those whom You gave me out of the world. They were Yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed Your word. Now they know that everything You have given me comes from You. For I gave them the words You gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from You, and they believed that You sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. Notice this point. Later on, He's going to pray for the world. But He's praying now for His disciples. I am not praying for the world, but for those You have given me, for they are Yours. All I have is Yours, and all You have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to You, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave me, so that they may be one as We are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name You gave me, and none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you will take them out of the world, but that you will protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be sanctified. Now I'm going to stop right there for this Sunday. But please note that the living God has a plan for this messed up world. It is focused in His Son, but the Son then hands the responsibility to us. As you sent me, Father, I am sending them into this messed up world because I love the world. It is mine. There it is. And unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before His presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. And all God's people said,